Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good morning. Doug Cinceri, Albert Nico, Michelle Demmer, Cinceri, All Things Legal. You give us a call at 260-1870 or text us at you can't text us right. You can't text us right now. We don't have our text up.
No, we have no text ability.
Yeah, so this is and we got Albert Nico on the line, and hey Albert, you there?
I am here.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are y'all doing?
We're great. How are you?
Are we coming in loud and clear?
Loud and clear. Yeah, you got the volume issues worked out.
Okay, we got it out. We got it.
It only took us an hour last week.
Yes, that's right. It's going to take us 5 minutes there this time.
Well, actually, the volume was fine last week, except for that moment when I told you, "Hey, I can't hear you," and then I think it was just a couple of minutes when we got it.
Yeah, so you should see this board here. Board has no instructions.
That's right. Well, it does now. I understand what return, input, and stereo pan. Since our engineer Doug back in the studio has explained that to me, and thank goodness I have a De La Salle education.
There you go.
And I could figure this
out. Right.
So that's good. But I'm ready for things to get back to normal. I'm watching ESPN, and they had marble races. Did you see that yesterday?
No. What kind of was that?
It was races. They would have four marbles, and they would race it down a track. And they would announce, like the blue marble was ahead on the turn and the red marble.
No way.
Yes,
Olympic sport or something?
On the ESPN, it was that. Marble races. It was down this sophisticated track. And I'm like,
That's like one step below curling.
Yes.
Well, we saw
cornholing the other day, so.
Hey, don't sure. knock
right,
curling.
Right.
That's a sport.
We have watched curling.
Yeah, that's like mesmerized. But the marbles, I'm like, it is time for things to get to normal. I was at the store yesterday.
It is time.
I was at the store yesterday. Yes. I have to say this. And this is for parents.
Go ahead.
I have to say this for parents with little kids, okay? I was at a store, and they had a kid with a plastic bag over his head. And his mother's begging him to take it off. And so he takes it off, and I'm sitting in line waiting to check out. And I said, "What's happening, man?" He said, "I don't want to catch this virus." I said, "You're not going to catch it if you suffocate to death. So take that bag off." And so we talked about what's that?
Go ahead.
So we talked about 5 or 10 minutes, and I spent the whole time saying,
"With the bag on it?"
No. After the bag was off his head.
Oh, after he took it off. Okay.
And I said, "Man, I said, look, this virus, it doesn't really. It's for a young man like you who's 10 years old. I said you have nothing to worry about. I said it doesn't affect you guys. I said only real kids, people who have, very few. You have nothing to worry about. Don't sweat it. Be a kid. Have fun. Do not fear, and be a kid, and don't lose your childhood over this." And so
exactly.
I think it was very interesting that all this coverage has scared the daylights out of young, healthy kids. And not to say
so many
they don't
people.
Have to, they yeah. don't have they don't have to they, you know you wash your hands and you do all the precautions.
Well, here's the other thing. We were at a restaurant the other day, and the hostess, is an older lady. Probably about our age, right? Not this young hostess, but she was an older lady working very hard.
I take exception to that.
And what age is that?
Well, older than most hostesses. That's
gotcha.
An older lady. Anyway, so she's working hard. Well, she's got the mask on and got the gloves on, and she comes and seats us. It's a sushi restaurant, right? And so she's grabbing our chopsticks by the end that we would eat from, you know, with her gloves. And then she would kind of use those same gloves and fingers to put her hair behind her ears. And then she would pick up this and pick up that and do this. And so this, I'm watching, and here is this lady with this false sense of security that, oh, well, I have gloves on, so everything is fine. And I have a mask on, and everything is fine. And so you end up not even, you end up doing things that you would normally not do if you didn't have gloves. Not to mention, if you've got these gloves on, you are less likely to wash your hands. And so it's almost a hindrance unless you really know how to use the gloves. And if you really know how to use the glove, you're going to touch something, and then you have to take the gloves off and throw them away and then touch something else. I mean,
you would go through a box of gloves in 10 minutes in a restaurant.
Doing it right. Right. So it's all really for show and who knows what else. I'm just, look, the disease is real. And for those who lost loved ones who got it, God bless you. It's, you know, clearly an issue, but the reaction and the overreaction has just been horrendous. So we're going to actually talk about that in a little while. We've got a special guest coming on.
Yes, do we? Todd Murphy's coming on at 8:30.
Yes, Todd. Yeah, Todd is the director of the Jefferson Chamber of Commerce, and he's going to have some really interesting things to say about what businesses are saying and what their reaction is to some of the restrictions that are being placed on the businesses, and whether there's any science behind it at all.
Well, the other thing too, I think Todd's running around Baton Rouge in the legislature, also keep an eye on bills, trying to get people back to work, trying to get jobs mm-hmm. jobs happening. And I'm anxious to hear what is actually happening in the legislature and how legislature some of the bills that in dealing with this directly. In a way that, you can keep the economy moving and also keep people safe.
Exactly.
And there's
we've been having some issues with, people calling up about just different COVID-related legal issues as well, particularly leases and what to do and can I get out of it? I think we talked briefly about, for instance, the catering businesses, the venues that have catering events and their contracts and what they did say, what they might need to say in the short term, right? Because if they reschedule and then it mushrooms a little bit, what kind of language you probably want in your contract to protect you and something that's fair for both parties, right?
Well, okay. Like, okay,
going forward.
Like if you're doing an event, are you maybe even to have a business that you're going to sign a new lease for at a new location? I mean, what are some of the things mm-hmm. that you have to consider now, given the past 2 months? And if you're hosting the event, or are you the one who's leasing the space for that particular event?
Right. Well, if you're hosting the event, you're going to want some sort of opportunity to say, listen, if we have some sort of pandemic, if we have an issue beyond everyone's control that no one really anticipated, then we have the option to not have to have it that date. The way the law works is that, look, if there's something that happens, for instance, like this, some act of God, some issue that's not anticipated in the contract, and it makes the performance impossible. Okay, so it would separate things from catering facilities where it's a one night event, and if social distancing and the rules of the government require that, sorry, but you can't have a big gathering at a reception hall, then it makes it impossible. So the parties are required by law to, in good faith, try to reschedule the event, try to do what they can to perform. And so you want to be able to accommodate your customer, and, you know, they're going to have to try to move things as well. I had a lady call me from Ohio, and she booked an event at one of the hotels that has a catering venue downtown, and it was set for August 1st. Well, of course, August 1st, who knows what's going to happen August 1st? So the venue was going to assist her in moving, and it was a destination wedding, I think, for about 40 people. And so they wanted to assist her and said, well, the next available date is in January. Oh, but the room rate is double what you're paying, and the venue is going to cost double what you're paying because it's a more – it's not summertime New Orleans. It's the heart of the, you know, tourist season, et cetera, et cetera. And so she's like, well, that's – you know, that's not going to be sufficient. That's not going to satisfy our needs. My guests are going to bail. And some of them are going to bail anyway because, you know, she said, we've had some issues with COVID in my family in Ohio. So it's going to a court if it ever got that far because they wanted to keep her deposit. And it's going to be up to a court to determine whether or not the offer by the hotel was reasonable, a reasonable accommodation. And one of the things that the person who was booking the event, she had to consider was, even though you can accommodate the event, if it's more difficult to perform, if it's more difficult and more egregious to perform, it doesn't matter. You're going to have to perform. So the question is it double the price venue? Is that considered, you know, something that you're going to have to do?
Well, it leaves it up
to speculation. Otherwise, you lose your deposit.
It leaves it up to speculation, which leads itself up to litigation.
Litigation, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's so you want to kind of put some of those things in your contract. Another thing you want to do: people have deposits, right? Okay, we need 20% down, and then so many months before the event, we need half, and so they graduated up until, you know, right before the event, and they want the whole thing. One thing you want to do if you're a catering company or a venue or even a restaurant is have a non-refundable booking fee, no matter what happens. We've earned this money. You know, from a legal standpoint, it's almost a quantum merit rationale, right? We booked it. We went through the menu with you. The salesperson was paid. We've earned this money already. And so even if you have to cancel, even if there's some pandemic, we're going to make this $500 booking fee, or whatever booking fee, you know, realistically cost you, because, you know, you like I said, you've earned that money already. You've not performed in terms of the event, but you've done all of these things leading up to it. You know, you've reserved the space, you've done this, you've done that, you've sold it, you've gone through the menu, you know, called back and forth with the anxious mother-in-law, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so we've earned X amount. So figure out what that number is and put that in your contract.
Yeah. And okay, if you're, let's say you're a bride, mm-hmm. and you're going to have a wedding in July, August, what are some of the things they can do to protect themselves in case there's some type of, not necessarily a shutdown, but an impairment of the ceremony where,
yeah, so,
yeah,
so
you
if
could technically
began,
have it,
get
but
a spike.
It's gonna, yeah, and you could technically have it possibly, but you can't have food, or, you know, you'd have some kind of regulation that would make the wedding not you know, viable, or the reception.
Well, I think that the easy answer is communication, right? I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I'm in the board of the Louisiana Hospitality Foundation. It is a hospitality event. And you, as a venue owner, you want to host a venue and you want to host an event and you want it to be successful. You want it to be great and everybody, you know, rave about it. So word of mouth, people will, you know, come back and use your place. From the bride standpoint, you know, if we have to scale it down, I've got a good friend of mine. His son got married yesterday at a church with 10 people. And they ended up going to his house afterwards, and they had a little dinner at the house, and they're going to have a party, and, you know, when things settle down, so they'll reschedule it and rebook it when they can. So
you're going to have to be
flexible in these times.
Well, especially, and we'll talk about what to do with the venue, as far as putting some language in the contract to protect the brides. But let's go to a break. Doug Cinceri, Albert Nico, Michelle Demers, Cinceri, All Things Legal. We'll be right back after this brief timeout. Hey, we're back. Doug Cinceri, Albert Nico, Michelle Demers, Cinceri, All Things Legal. Albert, we've got about a minute and a half. What are some of the suggested language you, if you were a bride or getting married and you wanted to protect your wedding and you know, not have an issue regarding, you know, paying for a booking that you may or may not have? What's some of the language you could put in there to protect yourself?
Well, I mean, obviously you want to try to have the option that if they're, you know, specifically in this next 6 to 8 months with this virus still around, that we want to be able to move the reception, move the event to another date at the same price. You know, we want to be able to have that option, you know, within a 6 month period or whatever y'all can negotiate. And then if they can do that, then, you know, all should be fine, right? You have your event. And even if you get married the weekend of the original event and then have a reception later, it's just, it's different times. You're going to have to adjust.
Now, one thing you'd have to do is you would definitely have open dates on the Saturdays of the LSU-Auburn, LSU-Alabama games, because nobody schedules weddings on those days, right?
So unless you've got a judge that bleeds purple and gold, you that would be a reasonable date to move your wedding to, right?
So you might have to put a clause in there. Alternate dates do not include LSU-SEC home games.
Exactly.
Only a child.
That's really thinking ahead.
Okay.
Well, if you recall, Doug, you were in my wedding. We got married the night of LSU Alabama, and back then I think their combined record was like 6-15.
You were married. Married in 1990, right?
91.
90. That was in the heart of the. You know, the CBS update snuck up on us.
It sure did.
It did. It's like, where did we go? Where did we go? But we were finishing our thought was you got married in 1991 night at LSU-Alabama game, and it was the second year of the great Curly Hallman era. Does anybody remember that? Huh? Does anybody remember that? So, oh, my goodness.
We figured we couldn't go wrong. Although, you know, some diehards still had the little earbud in their ear with their transistor radio attached to their waist.
And for you millennials, a transistor radio was a little black box that had a big antenna sticking out of it and would grab radio waves out of the air. So just in case.
In fact, it might have been a Walkman. Who knows, right?
A Walkman. That's right. There you go. That was high tech. So we got Todd Murphy on the line. He's president of Jefferson Parish Chamber of Commerce. And you there, Todd?
Yes, sir. How you doing, Doug? And Albert?
Good morning, Todd.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Albert, Todd, tell us, you're president of Jefferson Parish Chamber of Commerce, and I might have read about you a little bit in the paper with a little dust-up with the mayor. Tell us what the chamber's doing now to try to get Jefferson Parish back online and prosperous and having commerce rolling.
Sure. Well, I appreciate you guys having me on this morning. You know, it's been a real long 10 weeks, 11 weeks, I guess, for all of us. Jefferson Parish, you know, is open in phase one. I guess kind of the frustration is we had really hoped to be open phase one, 3 weeks ago. And we really thought that was going to come April the 16th. And then that was pushed to May. May 1st, and then that was pushed to the 15th. And so here we are. It's been a little rocky because of the occupancy maximum of 25%. And we're hoping that that's lifted sooner than later. We're hearing from a lot of restaurants, a lot of retailers that I just can't make it. I still have to bring in 3 chefs. I still have to bring in the labor. And I can hardly break even with this 25% maximum. And so, you know, we sent a letter along with the Jefferson Business Council and JEDCO, which is our Economic Development Commission, to the governor, just asking him to look at this then later. And this isn't something new. The Restaurant Association has done the same thing. There's been several task forces and committees that have done this that are trying to get businesses reopened. We just simply can't wait any longer. And look, our chamber has been there from the beginning trying to balance public health and economic health. And, you know, just a few weeks ago, I was standing in front of business owners saying, please be patient. You know, please be patient. Continue to do what we need to do and stay at home. But, you know, we've got to start looking at economic health, and it's really time. And, again, if you go around Jefferson Parish, we're open for business.
Yeah, and Todd, you know, I think at this point, you know, in the first month of this, everybody was scrambling. There was a lot of misinformation, you know, even by Fauci and the experts and those that, you know, you don't need a mask. Now everybody's got to wear a mask. But I think we've gotten to the point where we know enough about this virus to where the people that are at risk, we know what the comorbidities and the risk factors are. If you are that person, you know, God knows there's been enough coverage to where the word is out. You need to take care of yourself. And if you're taking care of someone or in the household with someone who has those types of issues, then those are the people that really need to be on their guard. For everyone else, I don't see what the problem is by letting people make decisions for themselves as to whether or not to go to a restaurant and let the restaurants open and serve them, you know, at 100% capacity.
Absolutely agree with that, Albert. I mean, people that are predisposed to this, they know the categories, and they know that if they fall in those categories, my parents are one of those, of course, you know, so they shouldn't be out. But at some point, we've got to let people exercise common sense, and we understand the social distancing piece. And if you look at the science of the CDC, it talks about social distancing. It talks about 6 feet apart. It doesn't say anything about 25% maximum capacities. So, you know, right. that's part of what we put in the letter to the governor, is that if businesses take care of their employees, and if businesses especially make their customers feel safe, then they're going to be rewarded with more business. If they, then they're going to be penalized. Yeah. People are not going to want to go there. But I think at some point we have to let common sense step in. We have to enforce social distancing. But we've got to get this economy back, or we're going to have a pandemic of a different sort. And so our message really is, we're encouraging people to get out and shop local, shop the local restaurants, get off the internet. I mean, online sales, I think is up 74% over the last 6 weeks. And our community is supported by property taxes and especially sales taxes. And so we've got to get back to supporting the local economy and getting our jobs back.
Todd, let me ask you something. Let me ask you a question. Are there any bills in the legislature to help return Jefferson Parish businesses back to normalcy?
So there's a lot of bills in the legislature, and there's so much going on up there, it's just hard to even keep track sometimes. But I'll tell you, you know, some of the bills that are up there are dealing with business liability. And, you know, there's a lot of businesses that are very nervous that, hey, even if I follow the CDC and all the guidelines, will I be indemnified? I mean, am I going to come back later and be sued, although I did all the right things? So some of the bills up there are really looking I think the legal term is gross negligence. And how can we make sure that our businesses are taken care of?
Todd, can you hold on through the break? Because we have some more we want to follow up with you. All right, let's go to a break. Doug Cinceri, Albert Nico, Michelle Demmer Cinceri with guest Todd Murphy, president of the Jefferson Parish Chamber of Commerce. We'll be right back after this brief timeout. Hey, we're back. Doug Cinceri, Albert Nico, Michelle Demmer Cinceri. Got Todd Murphy, president of Jefferson Parish Chamber of Commerce. And I think Michelle has a question for you, Todd.
Yeah, Todd, I wanted to know, how's Lakeside Shopping Center doing? It's such a huge pull for Jefferson Parish in the revenue.
Oh, yes, it absolutely is. And so Lakeside is open. And through some efforts of the Retail Association and a lot of local leaders at the kind of the last minute just before they opened, Governor's office to revise his plan to allow the interior of the mall to open. So again, it's capped at 25% capacity. There's still a lot of national retailers that have not reopened. Again, it goes back to labor. You know, can we cover our cost? And And is it worth it if we just break even to go through all the trouble of reopening? And then there's risk involved, right? So right now, you know, we do have a substantial amount of retailers open. Hopefully more will come online in the next week or so. But Lakeside is open. Clearview is open. Of course, all of our Elmwood shops are open. So, you know, we expect retail to come back real strong here in Jefferson Parish. It's always been our base. Michelle, too, if I can just comment your question just before we went to the break. In addition to the liability.
This is on the legislature. The bill's in the legislature.
I just wanted to finish up on a couple points there. So in addition to the business liability legislation that's being pushed through there to protect our businesses, I think in this special session you're going to see some tax breaks. We are not sure exactly what those look like right now, but, you know, in the next week to 10 days as that special session gets closer. But I think you're going to see some tax breaks for business owners. And the other thing that you're going to see is that this $1.8 billion that's from the federal government, the business community is lobbying for some of that money to be carved out, maybe $200 million or so to be carved out and given to businesses in the form of grants. Mm-hmm. So that way the money's not just given to local governments to bail out government hardships, which certainly there were a lot of those through this COVID ordeal. But there'll be a lot of people standing in line to bail out other entities, perhaps like the Sewage and Water Board and other things like that that were really broke before COVID-19. So we think that if we can carve out money for business grants, that money becomes an investment. So maybe that $200 million you invested into business and it becomes $400 or $600 million in commerce. So that's a little bit about what's going on in the legislature, but very short time frame for them to work on, and just a lot of information, a lot of bills floating around.
Right.
And I really hope the limitation of liability statutes are put in place, because you know I'm just a business owner, right? That you know, even as a law firm, and somebody come in and sign a will, and all of a sudden say, oh well, I must have contracted this virus from there. I'm going to sue Nico and Sinceri's law firm. That's a problem. I mean, you know, we do what we can. We have, you know, we have masks and we have gloves, and we, you know, our witnesses are, you know, stand far apart. We have long conference tables. So, we're doing what we can to be smart and be reasonable and rational to kind of avoid this. But at the same time, you know, these creative lawyers out there, you know, well, you knew this and this, the governor said this, so you're liable and you're grossly negligent. So it's, I hope the language is very strong, that, you know, again, there's enough education, there's enough news, there's enough information where people know what the risks are, and they know if they're predisposed to those risks. And those are the folks that really need to take care of themselves, stay home. And I don't mean stay home. Go take walks. Go, you know, but you know, avoid contact with other people.
Todd, I have a question I think a lot of people want to ask. You had a well-publicized discussion with the judge's mayor's office, Mayor Cantrell's office, 3 or 4 weeks ago. Since then, has there been any coordination with Orleans Parish and Jefferson Parish on trying to go forward and you know sort of coordinate common objectives to help businesses?
Well, and that's really the problem. When Orleans has one plan and 63 other parishes have another plan, it's kind of difficult to coordinate that. So as a result, you've got, you know, a lot of people from Orleans Parish coming to Jefferson Parish so they can sit outside and eat, or they can go to the shopping centers or whatever it might be.
Right.
I will tell you that within the business community, there's been a lot of coordination, and I've had several conversations and I'm in some discussions with Stephen Perry at New Orleans and Company, which is their convention and visitors bureau, about doing some work together. I've had conversations with the business council there. But unfortunately, you know, Doug, the way their charter is structured, the mayor of New Orleans has all the power. Unlike Jefferson Parish, where, you know, there's a check and a balance, and really probably the balance of the powers with our council. There, it's just a very different situation. And so the mayor, particularly this mayor, seems to run solo. And that's unfortunate, because we have a great region, and we should we should work regionally. It's you know.
So Todd, I think we got to go to a break. And Todd, if you could hold on for the break for another couple of minutes, we just a few follow up questions on that. So let's go to break. Doug Cinceri, Albert Nico, Michelle Demers Cinceri here with Todd Murphy, president of Jefferson Parish Chamber of Commerce. We'll be right back after this brief timeout. Hey, we're back. We're back with Todd Murphy, the president of Jefferson Parish Chamber of Commerce. I think Michelle has something for you.
Yeah, Todd, I had a question. And I know none of us have a crystal ball, but what do you anticipate Jefferson Parish looking like in the next, let's say, 30 days?
From a business perspective,
I think you'll see pretty much business, all the businesses that can reopen will be fully reopened in the next 30 days. I will tell you that there are a lot of businesses that are struggling, not just in Jefferson, but really all over the country with the timeline of the payroll protection program and getting open. You know, so you draw down on that money, you have 8 weeks to spend it on payroll. Yes, you can't open because the government says you can't open. And so hopefully some of those adjustments will be made in the next week to 2 weeks in Congress. I think they're actually taking a recess for Memorial Day, but that needs to be addressed. But I really think that, you know, Jefferson's going to come back really strong. We certainly got a jump on Orleans Parish. And I think through this, I think you've seen really strong leadership in Jefferson Parish from our parish president, our council, our business community, the sheriff, the coroner. You know, when we have press conferences, it's not like we get together every 10 days and have a press conference. We're communicating on a regular basis. I think it's been really a shining point for Jefferson, and hopefully, you know, that'll lead to more business for our parish. We say it all the time, so goes Orleans, so goes Jefferson, but we've got to work together to grow this region. But I really think that this has been a shining point for Jefferson Parish, and I think our businesses will come back really strong.
All right. Well, we got about 1 minute. I got a very important question to you, Todd. This is something that goes back. What is, you have a prediction for the LSU football season this year? This is the important one.
Look, man, I bleed purple and gold.
I know,
that's
why I'm
always optimistic. So to as many games as we can play, I think we win them all. I think we're going to have an awesome season. I really do.
Hey, we're going to play them all with 105,000 people in the stadium. How about that, huh?
Well, I'll be there.
I know. I've seen you there. Do you remember seeing me when you go there?
Yeah, just a little bit.
Just a little bit. There you go. But, Todd, I appreciate all the work that you're doing for Jefferson Parish and getting this back to normal and prosperous and being a great parish we are. And I agree, you and President Chang have done a great job. So thanks for joining us. And you can bill Albert for your time today, you know, so
all
that's
right.
Okay.
There
you know where he lives. And so we appreciate it. You and your family, just stay safe, be blessed. All right, we're going to
we're going to be going to
network news, local news. We'll be back in about 10 minutes on all things legal. So stay tuned for hour number two. See you in about 10.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.